Masech de Shavuot. Rabbi Omer, Al kol averis shebetayra, on all averis in the Torah, bein asa tshuva, bein lo yasa tshuva, whether he did tshuva or he didn't do tshuva, yoyim ha-kippurim mechaper. Unbelievable. Rabbi holds, we don't pass it this way, Rabbi holds that you could get a kapara on Yom Kippur even without doing tshuva. On all averis in the Torah, bein asa tshuva, bein lo yasa tshuva, yoyim ha-kippurim mechaper. Chutz mi pyrik oil, u'megal aponim ba'tayra, u'mefer bris bibasa. Except for these three things. Chutz pyrik oil, megal aponim ba'tayra, he talks about the Torah with chutzpah, and he's mefer the bris mila. The bris, Rashi says, besar mila. I want to focus on each one of these, mestama needs a pshat, why it should be excluded, why specifically these three things to be excluded from Rebbe's klal that you have tshuva on Yom Kippur even without doing tshuva. You have a kapara on Yom Kippur even without doing tshuva. I want to focus on mefer bris v'basar. Why is that? Why is hafaras habris mila specifically something that if someone doesn't keep the bris mila, then he doesn't have tshuva on Yom Kippur? You don't maul your children, maybe, I don't know. Maybe if you weren't Nima when you're younger, or it could be Meishach or Lassi, there's other ways also.
What's
that? I mean, Mefer was not to keep the Bris Mila. Megal aponim ba'Torah. Okay. This year is an interesting year, it's a disappointing year. This year we don't get to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Shofar with the Raisa at all. Never mind that one day we don't hear the Shofar, which may feel like we're losing out. Whatever the Shofar accomplishes, we don't have on one day. But we don't have the Chi of the Raisa of blowing Shofar, we don't have at all. And Chazal have taught us that the reason is because Chazal were afraid that you might end up carrying the Shofar on Shabbos, Shema Yavirenu Dalaramas, Rishus Arabim. And therefore Chazal abolished the mitzvah d'oraisa of blowing shofar on Shabbos, which you're mechuyev to blow on Shabbos, and they brought a asmachta from a pasuk, a remez from a pasuk, because in one place it says yoyim trua, which means to blow shofar, and in one place it says zichroin trua, which we're going to say in Shemoneh Esrei tonight. Zichroin trua means a remembrance of the tkiyah shofar, but it's not the actual tkiyah shofar. So Chazal understood from there, the Pashtus is that the one pasuk is coming to tell you to blow shofar, and the other pasuk is coming to tell you that blowing shofar is for zikaron. You blow shofar for zikaron. But the Chazal learn a asmachta, a remez, that yoyim true is talking about a day that we could blow shofar, like on Sunday, and zichron true is talking about a day that we can't blow shofar, like on Shabbos. But this is an interesting thing, that there's a heichatimtzi to have a year where there's no Tkiya Shofar d'oraisa. It feels disappointing. I'd like to address the disappointment.
Well, same question. Why?
I didn't ask a question.
Why?
There's a machlokes in Sefer Rosh Hashanah on Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph. Between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yosi, Chachamim hold kol ha-shofar is k'sherim chutz mishel para. All shofars are kosher. You can use all shofars except for the shofar of a cow. You can't use the shofar of a cow. There's a whole shakla v'tari here. What the reason for the Rabbanan is? Kidur Rav Chizda, the Gemara says. The Amar Rav Chizda mipnei ma ein kayen gadol nichnas bebigdei zov lefnai v'lefnim la'avoid avoida. Why doesn't the kayen gadol go into the kodesh hakadoshim with his big dezav, with his golden clothing, to do the avodah? Lefi she'ein kategor nases anega, because the defense cannot be comprised, cannot be made up of a prosecutor. A prosecutor cannot become a defense. Ein kategor nases anega. Kategor is the prosecutor. Sanega is a defense. Ein kategor nases anega. Since Klal Yisrael did the ego, and the eagle was an eagle hazav, so you can't wear zav in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ein kategor nasas an eagle. The Gemara asks a lot of kashas on it. Gemara veho ikka big day zav mi bachutz. The kainadol wears big day zav outside. So you see that it's not true that ein kategor nasas an eagle. You see, and the way I once heard explained, you see that sometimes adrabba, there's a maila in using the thing that you once did as a chait, using it to be mechaper. Now I'm using it with taif. Mipchinas, like Rabbi Niyana says, one of the things in tshuva is that be'aver shachata, you should do mitzvahs. But specifically that aver that he did naver, you should do mitzvahs. If he hit someone, he should be Isaac and chesed, you know, should try to address the aver that did the aver. He says that if someone was roya, improper things, he should cry. He should do tshuva with that aver. So the big day chutz. So what about big day chutz? So the Gemara, mi bifnim ko amrinon, ein achanami. The whole problem of ein kategor nasas an eagle was when you bifnim. You bifnai v'lifnim, at least in the Pashas, it's a super sensitive place. It's mamish kula yomer kadosh. It's a very sensitive place, very kadosh tikka place, and there can't be any zeicha that there was ever a chait. The mashal Shabbos. Just I'm giving it as a mashal. I'm not saying it's the same thing. But the mashal on Shabbos, we don't even mention chait in Shemoneh Esrei. Nothing. We don't mention chatah in all the Shabbos Shemoneh Esrei. We don't mention chait. Sometimes talking about chait and tshuva is that sometimes you're in a makam, we don't want to mention any kind of kategor, any type of chait at all. That's bivishnim. We'll need a better explanation of it. Frekti Gemara, the obvious kasha, we don't blow shofar in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Just like the Kohen Gadol, when he was outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, could wear big day zav. And just when he walked inside, that he has to put on his big day lavan because of Ein Kategor Nasas An Eagle. So where do we blow shofar? We blow shofar in the Beis HaKnesses. We don't blow shofar in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So then how come there's a problem in Kategor Nasas An Eagle? How come there's a problem that the shofar was made out of, that's the whole terror, that the shofar is made out of the horn of a cow, which the eagle was a cow. That's what Rabbanu was saying. Maybe it wasn't clear. The Rabbanu was saying you can't use the shofar of a cow because the eagle was a cow. So it's Ein Kategor Yasas An Eagle. So Frekti Gemara, so a shofar also is outside, just like the Kohen Gadol wore big day zav. So even though it's Ein Kategor in Nasas An Eagle, the Kohen Gadol wore big day zav not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So to a shofar. Shofar is not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Morty, you look confused. Okay. Emre di Gemara. Kivon de la zikaron hu kebifnim dami. Since the shofar is a zikaron, it's drawing out memories, remembrance, zikaron, it's like it's lefnai v'lefnim. Very, very cryptic Gemara. What does this mean? Rashi doesn't give much explanation. Taisus doesn't give much explanation. Rashi just says kivon dezikaron ka'asi kebig de kain gadol shelefnim dami. That's Rashi's itself. Doesn't add very much. What does this mean? Just because the shofar is being moitzi zechreinos, just because the idea of the shofar is zechreinos, therefore it's kibifnim. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says there's a din like bifnim. What does it mean there's a din like bifnim? That's what I want to know. Since it's for remembrance, it's like it's inside the Kodesh HaKadosh. No, because that was the whole terrace, that you can't use the shofar of a cow because of Ein Kategor Nasas An Eagle, because the eagle was a cow. Just like the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear big days of in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In fact, you might be very nice, but this is not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Again, why can't you use the shofar of a cow? Because Ein Kategor Nasas, I the Kohen Gadol wore big days of. But the shofar is also not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
Okay, fine, but
so that's right. What you said about tefillin is 100% true. We use tefillin from a cow. Things that are outside is not a problem about Ein Kategor Nasas An Eagle. Either maybe makes the question stronger, doesn't make it weaker.
We shouldn't use gold on
let's leave it. Let's get the Torah first. Okay. Pasuk says, V'asu li mikdash v'shochanti b'soicham. Make me a Beis HaMikdash, and I will dwell inside them. So Chazal HaMedayik, not inside it, but inside them. And we see from here, and now there's not enough time to be ma'arich about what this means, but we see this, you say it from here, that there's a parallel between the Beis HaMikdash and the guf of a person. Because it says, make me a Beis HaMikdash, and I will dwell in the Yid, in the Yidden. So we find a parallel, in many places we find a parallel between the Beis HaMikdash and the guf of a person. Why that's true and what the inyan is, maybe we could talk about that, Parshas Truma. I'm not going to go into it now. I'll just bring one mashal. Some Sfarim say that there's, we know in the Kodesh there were three kelim. There was a menorah, a mizbeach, and a shulchan, the lechem apanim. And we know that a person is made up of three parts. He has a guf, a lev, and a neshama, a seichel. Rosh Hashanah is melech. Melech is moyach, lev, kaved. Moyach is the seichel, represents the neshama. Lev is the connection between the neshama and the guf. Kaved is the liver, that represents the guf. Melech. So the three kelim in the Beis HaMikdash are menorah, Mizbeach, and a shulchan. The menorah is Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. The menorah is connected to neshama, the seichel, chachma comes from the menorah. The mizbeach is connected to lev, because the ezehu avoda shebelev. That's tefillah. That's avoda. Avoda is belev. The avoda is belev. Ask me after. Try to focus. Try not to miss things. Ezehi avoda shebelev, that's the mizbeach is in the lev. The mizbeach parallels the lev, and the shulchan, which is what is lechem to eat. What does lechem sustain? It sustains the guf. So the shulchan is connected the guf. So you find, just giving a mashal, where you find three kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, three chalakim of the guf ha'adam. This parallels between the Beis HaMikdash and the guf ha'adam. Okay, Bavoneseinu Harabim, the Goyim were able to come and destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And that means that they were able to be Shoilet, they were able to rule, to dominate over the entirety of the Beis HaMikdash, raised it to the ground. However, we know that the things that were in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Aron, and the things that were with the Aron, the Man, Sezenis HaMan, the things that were in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, lo yishaltu b'hem goyim. The goyim never captured. There's an arch in Rome where it's engraved on it the picture of Sid. Heartbreaking picture of goyim carrying the menorah. They have it arayim hazeh, that chiruf v'giduf of goyim carrying the menorah to Rome. The menorah they were able to take. The mizbeach they were able to destroy. The Shulchan they were able to say, for all we know, the Shulchan is in the Vatican today. We don't know which Kalim are in the Vatican, which aren't. The Kalim that are in the Vatican today. The Aron was never found. What? We don't know. There's hidden things there. Depending on the political situation of each generation, the Vatican decides what they'll be Megala they have, what they want. There's a whole world underneath the Vatican. And they said it sits as there. So the Goyim were able to be Shoilet. Imagine sitting in a church that could be Kalim from the Beis HaMikdash. The Goyim were able to be Shoilet on the whole Beis HaMikdash. But on the Oren, which is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Goyim couldn't be Shoilet. That they couldn't touch. As a dugma lo adam, this is a dugma to a person. A person Lashon, let's say he has his seichel and his heart and his guf. A person could be dominated by ra. A person could be duchatoy and could sink into averus. The yetzahara could chaparayin. Just like the Beis Hamikdash could be destroyed, could be dominated by ra. A person could also be dominated by ra. It's possible for a person to fall into chet and to be destroyed. But the parallel is perfect. Just like there's a makkah, lifnai v'lifnim, in the pnimei pnimius of the Beis Hamikdash, the most innermost heiliga part of the Beis Hamikdash, there is a keli. It's not shayach, it's impossible that a guy should be shaylet over, that a guy should dominate over, or control. So too, there's a makkah inside each person that's absolutely impossible that ra should be shaylet over, that the yetzahara could be shaylet over. An exact parallel to lefnai v'lefnim exists inside every single person, also has a lefnai v'lefnim, and that lefnai v'lefnim is his makim, that's impossible that ra should be shaylet. And we mentioned this, you said a few times, I just want to read you from two or three places Rav Dessler talking about it. Just, I think it became very cliche, the Pintaliyah, this and that became very cliche. I want to just read from at least Rav Dessler's one source to hear it in, you know, Bedvarav HaKadoshim. Not really his words exactly, but written over from the words. I'm going to read from just Mechelek Aleph, just a few lines here and there. This is from the Chasadim, the kindness of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Shalay nosan rishus layetzer, he did not give permission to the Yetzirah lechasais es ha'emes legamri, to cover the truth completely. Elo kol adam yuchal lahavchin b'livay be'eze derechu ha'emes la'amitay. A person, if he works on it, if he works to be megala that emes, could eventually be mavchin in himself what the real emes is. That's the part that's not affected by the Yetzirah. U'kemoy shehu begolos hagov, just like begolos hagov, very, very interesting. It says in the Teichecha and Parshas Bechukosai, u'vechol zois, no matter what you went through, no matter what I'm going to make you go through, lo'y ma'astim v'lo'y ga'altim, I wasn't enough for me, I wasn't enough, I didn't detest Klal Yisrael enough, l'chaloysam, to destroy them. Even though I'm going to bring upon them this terrible Teichecha, but I'm not going to reach, it's never going to reach a point that they're going to be completely destroyed. Lo'y ma'astim v'lo'y ga'altim l'chaloysam l'hafer brisi itam, to be made for my bris. U'kemoy shehu begolos aguf shenemar b'lo'y ma'astim v'lo'y ga'altim l'chaloysam kein hu gam begolos ha'nefesh. So too, when the nefesh, a person is involved in averus, if his neshama is overtaken by the Yetzirah, the person has a golos ha'nefesh. His nefesh is in golos. It's in a strange land. It's being dominated by koiches hara. She'ein hakoras ha'emes kolo legamri. The recognition of truth does not cease completely. B'toich galusei shel ha'sitra achra, when it's in the galus, in the dominion of the koiches ha'tumah. That's one place. A little later on in the sefer, I'll just tell you where that was. That was page, is that where it was?
60.
Page 60. Echei legam. Okay, I'm going to read now from page 233. It might sound a little repetitious. I think it's valuable to hear Rav Dessler talk about it. So when we hear it mentioned, there's part of a yid, so and stuff, but we should realize it's well supported, well founded. This is just one example, Rav Dessler. I'll just want to talk about it also. Bechol echod mi Yisrael, in every single one of the yidden, yesh nekuda pnimes daka. As we mentioned, that's a makom pnimi. There's a nekuda pnimis daka, an edla, deep inner nekuda. B'chinas le'ma'astim v'le'ga'altim l'chaloysam. Shehi ha'avtocha shekona Avram Avinu. This is the havtocha that Avram Avinu got from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Shelo tichla nekudas ha'kedusha legamri. That the kedusha should not cease completely. Milavavais b'nei Yisrael. From the hearts of Yidden. Haynu shelo yanichem HaKadosh Baruch Hu lovei chas v'shalom v'chei kil yoin ruchni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not allow a person to reach an absolute ruchniistic destruction. There's always some ruchniist left. And now I'll read from page 291. 290 and 291. Hiftiach Hashem Yisborach Es Amo, Yakadosh Baruch Hu was Maftiach, he promised his nation. Ki gam im yorad lemata harbe me'oid. Even if the person fell very, very, very deep, the person fell very far down. Mikol mokim kol oid, kol asher oid, shaychus loy b'Yisrael, as long as he has shaychus to Yiddishkeit, I'm not going to talk now about what that means. Loy tifsak ha-nekuda ha-achroina ha-ruchnes shabahavi yosei. The last nekuda ruchnes, the last ruchnes, will not be separated from him. Behainu, begam behiyosam be'eretz ayuveyam, when they're in the lands of their enemies, and he says in parentheses, begolos, etzel ha-sitra achro, when the person's when his yetzer hara is in control of him, it's like he's in the land of his enemies. Loy ma'astim, v'loy ga'altim, l'chaloysam. Ki ein rishus l'sitra achro, limshol b'Yisrael l'gamri. The Koiches HaTumma do not have the ability to dominate over Yidden completely, Mibali Hishir, without leaving over Shum Nitzutz de Kedusha, some spark of Kedusha. The spark, everyone talks about the spark of a Yid, here's where it comes from. This means that in our conscious life, In the makam that we're conscious of, like not the kodesh hakodashim, the kodesh, you know, where our mizbeach and menorah and shulchan are operating, our guf and our neshama and our lev. We have toiv and we have ra. We have the yetzer toiv and we have the yetzer hara, and there's a bulchama between the yetzer toiv and the yetzer hara. Sometimes the yetzer toiv wins. Sometimes the yetzer hara wins. This is the mulchama, the battleground. There's a mulchama between the person's yetzer toiv and his yetzer hara. But that Melchama only goes a certain depth. In his Kodesh HaKadoshim over here, Lefnai V'Lefnim, deeper than his own consciousness even, deeper than what he himself could even perceive, there's a certain Ratzin, there's a certain, we'll call it a certain Kesher to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Everyone knows that our whole Tchiyos comes from the fact that we're attached to Hashem. How do you know? V'atem hadveikim b'Hashem elekeichem, chayim kulchem hayom. Chiyus comes from being attached to Hashem. To the extent that something's davuk in Hashem, to that extent it exists. Very, very deep inside of us, there's a certain chiyus, a certain makim chiyus. That's the makim that we're attached to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam from. That makim where Yainika, we're attached to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that's not shayach to Averis, to Yetzahara, there's no Bechira there, there's no Yetzahara, it's Ritzaynenu Lassus, it's Ritzaincha, it just wants to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom, it just wants to be Davuk in the Rabbeinu Shalom. And even the most Vaita Yid, even the most distanced Yid, there's some deep inside, there's that Mokim. Hadveikim Hashem Alekechem, there's that Mokim that's Davuk in Hashem, it's Lefnai V'Lefnim. It's hard for us to access the Lefnai V'Lefnim sometimes, right? Person's not loyavai, right? Ela kodesh. Person, you're not allowed to go into the base hamik, into the kodesh hakodesh. It's very, very deep inside. It's a makim amayk ma'oid. But there's a makim inside every yid that's screaming. That's full with the full warmness and the full gishmak of ritzaynenu lasis ritzaynach. I just want to be davuk in Hashem. And that's the makim chiyus of every yid. That's where a yid draws his life from. And then he has his regular life where he has his toiv and his ra, his toiv and his ra, and hopefully the toiv is menatzeach over the ra eventually. But deeper than the melchama between his toiv and his ra, there's a deeper part of a person. L'ma'astim v'le'galtim l'chalois, there's a deeper part of a person that's mekusher and mehudik with the Rabbi Shalom completely. And when a person does an aveira, that part of him did not do the aveira. It's almost legamri, and no shaychas, no rotzen. Even if a person says, I'm doing this aveira with all of my rotzen, it's not with all of his ratzin. His deepest ratzin is not to do that aveira. That's like the Gemara we learned this week in Second Seder. Kaifen Isayachi Yoimer Raitzani, because mitzvah l'shmaya de b'chachamim, because he b'kapara nichalei. There's that makom pnimis that says, "Very, I don't want to do it. When you force me to do it, it's agreeing. I don't want to get into this barichos now, it's a little bit of a different subject. But when you finally force me to do something that I'm really supposed to do, my mind may be chaylik. My mind maybe doesn't want to do it. My lev maybe doesn't want to do it. My guf for sure doesn't want to do it. But that lefnai v'lefnim, that rotten that's lefnai v'lefnim, that does want to do it. That wants to do the right thing. Mitzvah l'shmaya d'rei chachamim, l'kapara nichalei, like we learned in the Gemara. And again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forged the bond with Klal Yisrael, with every Yid. The Pasuk says, I'm not sure, I don't remember if it's in the end of Aschanim or Ekev, I think maybe it's in the end of Aschanim. The Pasuk says, Lo yimei rubchem choshak Hashem bochem, ki atem ha-ma'at michol ha-amim. Hashem is choshak Hashem bochem. People translate it, Hashem desired you, like cheshek. Hashem has a desire for you. The Ramban says it's not what it means. It doesn't mean that Hashem has a desire for you. Choshak is a lashon like in the Mishkan, we say v'hashukeyem kosef, means a hook. Choshak means an attachment. Cheshek is a hook. Now a person is attached to that which he desires. That's why the words are the same. Cheshek and cheshek. But loy meruchem choshak Hashem lachem ki atem ha-ma'at ki me'avas Hashem eschem. Hashem attached himself to us because of his love for us, and so on. The Pasuk is describing a kesher, an attachment. We're hooked on to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Because Baruch Hu attaches himself to us. Now, if there would just be Tov and Ra in a person, and it's possible that the entire person would fall over to the Tzad Hara, it wouldn't be possible for Rabbeinu Shalom to invest that type of a connection to us. Chazal teach us. The connection that Hashem has with us is the connection to that part of us that's kulay toiv. Nobody wants to enter into a bond. Nobody wants to attach himself to someone where he can't get out of it, and that person could fall out. Nobody would do that. If the person only enters into a bris with someone else, when both sides are absolutely committed, there's no possibility that either side will deviate. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nichnas in a bris in Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avada won't deviate from the bris. But what guarantees that Yidden won't deviate from the bris? Because there's always going to be that kedusha, that ruchni is inside of Yid. And it's that makim, it's that, even someone out there is completely off, and completely no shaychas to Yiddishkeit, completely no shaychas to Torah, Hashem still has a bris with him. How? He abandoned the Rabbeinu Shalom completely. No, he didn't. There's a makim inside of him that's attached to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Yeah, I said I don't want to get into it now. I don't want to, you have to see the whole shtickle there, it's many pages long. That's the hemshech of the pasuk, Rabbi said. The afkam zayis be'eretz ha'yveim, lo'im astim, I wasn't meos from them, v'le'ga'altim, l'chaloysim to destroy them, l'hofer brisi ita, to be made for my bris. The bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shares with Klal Yisrael, that bond draws its strength from the fact that Rabbeinu Shalom won't back out, and not a single Yid will ever back out from that bris. Why won't a single Yid ever back out? Why isn't it possible for a Yid to back out of the bris? Because there's a makim in every Yid that there's no bechira. There's no ra. There's no possibility of chet. It's kulei oimer kadosh. It's mali chala oret. It's mali kavodai. I mean, it's just davak in the Rabbeinu Shalom. Now the bris that we have with the Rabbeinu Shalom, is this clear until there? Savvy? The bris that we have with the Rabbeinu Shalom is a mitzvah that we perform on every 8-day-old baby. Bris chashechasanta b'vsareinu. Kadosh Baruch Hu was chaysim in our basar, a bris kodesh. That bris is a simen. It's a simon on our guf, it's a simon of our bond that we have with the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's the bris meal. And again, what did we say? The bris draws strength from that makim in a person. There's no possibility of chet. That's what the bris draws. That's what makes the bris absolute. If it was possible for a person to completely go off, to leave a chet, the bris is not absolute. There's a loophole in the bris. There's no loopholes in this bris because there's a makim in a person that's always attached. Reb Tzadik says, we spoke about this a couple of months ago. Reb Tzadik says that the bris is an amazing mitzvah. Every mitzvah, a person is mekayim. He's Mekayim the mitzvah. You become bar mitzvah, you put on tefillin. You keep Shabbos. You do yantif. You listen to the Kiddush Shofar. You shake a lulav. You do the mitzvahs. As Ezra pointed out before, bris is a mitzvah that almost no from Yid ever does. Almost rarely you hear of someone to be Mekayim bris milah. There's almost nobody who's ever Mekayim, the mitzvah of bris milah, on himself, on his children. There's a mitzvah to be Mekayim, there's a mitzvah of Bezdin to be Mal Yidin, Yisayimim, whatever. But it's an amazing thing that the classic Kitzurasai, if everything would be in a perfect situation, nobody would ever be Mekayim bris milah. Because it happens before you have any Bechir. An amazing thing. Bris milah happens before you have any Bechir. What? It's a chiv on yourself and also on the father. But the chiv is on yourself. What? 100%. It's a chiv. But it's still the ha'ara of tzaddik is still an astounding ha'ara. Each person's bris came without his bechir. Each person's simen on his guf that he's cut. No, it says both. It says both. A person doesn't give himself a bris milah. He's chayv karas. A person doesn't give himself a bris milah. He's chayv karas. Even if it was right. That's exactly the point. Exactly the point. There's a vada, a person has a mitzvah of bris, and the bris is a reflection of his kesher with the Rabbeinu Shlomo, and most of the time you don't do it. Most of the time, your father does it. Most of the time, a person doesn't do it. Zokhtar Tzaddik, this is exactly the point. This is exactly the point that we're making. Where does the bris draw its strength from? It draws its strength from that mokim in a person that's just oivid the Rabbi Shlomo without any bechiru, without any decision, without any chilukim, shikulim. It's just oivid the Rabbi Shlomo. That's how the bris comes onto every single yid. He's 8 days old, no decisions, no bechira, no b'lchemes ha'yetzer, nothing. I have the bris, it's be'etzem there. It's there. Because the bris draws its strength from that mokim in a person, that's there. It's kosher in the Rabbeinu Shalom. I didn't have to become a Baal Madrega for it. I didn't have to go to yeshiva and learn for 10 years to reach that Madrega. I just have it by virtue of the fact that I'm a Ben Avraham Avinu. Machnisa b'vrisa shel Avraham Avinu. Now it's pashut. It's not Erev Yom Kippur now, but it's pashut. That whatever the pshat is, this astounding thing that Rebbe says, that it's possible to have on Yom Kippur tshuva with kapara without tshuva. How could it be? You did an avera. How could you not do tshuva and still get a kapara? How could such a thing be? It's pashut without even having a full explanation, and I don't have a full explanation, but it's pashut that without that, the fact that there's a makim inside of me that's always davuk in the Rabbanu Shlomo, that doesn't want to do chatam, and that's the deepest part of me, Rebbe would not be shaykh. That halach of Rebbe would not be shaykh. The idea that there could be a day that could be mechaper for me, that could be mechaper for me, without me doing tshuva, just means to me, it says one thing. It says that Yom Kippur is a day, and possibly we'll talk about this again before Yom Kippur, that Yom Kippur is a day that reveals. We'll see soon that Rosh Hashanah is also such a day. Yom Kippur is a day that reveals the Lefnai v'Lefnim. What happens in Yom Kippur? The Kohen Gadol, the only day of the year, the Kohen Gadol goes inside the Lefnai v'Lefnim. We access, humans access Lefnai v'Lefnim on Yom Kippur. Lefnai v'Lefnim becomes a place that a human being can go on Yom Kippur. The whole year Lefnai v'Lefnim, it doesn't exist. It's Shemayim. It doesn't exist. V'chal Adam lo'yiyah, it doesn't exist. Yom Kippur comes, a human being accesses Lefnai v'Lefnim. It says he has a din of a malach that day, but Seif Kol Seif, a human being accesses Lefnai v'Lefnim. So now what did we say? That there's a Lefnai v'Lefnim in every single person. The Lefnai v'Lefnim of every single person is completely davuk, and the Rebbe Shlomo doesn't want to do a chet. Oh, that's Pshat and Rebbe, at least to some level. That's Pshat and Rebbe. But Yom Kippur is a day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't look at my Kodesh, at my Azara. Am I Mizbeach? Am I Menorah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at my Lefnai v'Lefnim. So then even without doing tshuva, that part of me doesn't have to do tshuva. It never did the Aver.
What does it mean for Baruch Hu?
That it extends over the rest of the guf. That it comes out, that it extends over the rest of the guf. That when Yom Kippur is over, the person is clean.
Saying in judgment, Hashem was only looking at that area of
right. Right, and with that, he judges the whole person in Mizakin. We want Upshan and Rebbe. Okay, I'm not coming here to explain. It's a big sugya in truth. I'm just saying that this Nikud I just want to bring out. That the possibility of having a tshuva on Yom Kippur without doing tshuva must draw its strength from the part of a person that doesn't have to do tshuva. That's completely kosher under Rabbi Nishlam. Zakti Gemara, that someone who's made for the bris, someone who's mevaza, someone who doesn't keep the bris, whatever it means, Ezra, whatever it means to be made for a bris, but Zakti Gemara, that someone who's made for the bris, in other words, he gets up and he announces that I am not mischashiv. I do not have a chashivus. I deny the existence of that makim in me that's absolutely davak in the Rabbi Nishalel. So mida keneged mida. Oh yeah, you deny the existence of that makim of lufnai v'lufnim. You deny the existence of that makim lufnai v'lufnim. So what's the whole chesed of Yom Kippur? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at that makim that's lufnai v'lufnim. Listen, maybe I'm about to explain it. But maybe I'm explaining it. What's lufnai v'lufnim? What happens on Yom Kippur? On Yom Kippur, what happens is that the Rabbani Shalom looks at that makim that's lufnai v'lufnim. But you deny that there's such a makim. You're made for the bris. Right? The whole bris draws the strength of that book. So, mida keneged mida, if you deny the existence of such a lufnai v'lufnim, the Rabbani Shalom also denies the existence of such a lufnai v'lufnim. Now, avada, it's there. Avada le'masim le'gatim l'chalism still applies. And the person still has shayachas to do tshuva. But the chesed that without doing tshuva comes yud aleph tishrei, he's clean, that chesed he doesn't have. Okay? Because, what? We don't bask in that. Maybe we talk about it enough. We don't bask in that. It's a sugya.
The only way a person would ever come to the middle of the verse is tshuva.
It's not true. Think about it. If you can't figure it out by tomorrow,
ask me
with that,
not to do
it. What? Let's leave that. Those are not true. Let's leave that. I'm not trying to be obnoxious. I think it's healthy to try to work it out. If you shoot the questions out too quickly, you're not going to be able to reach answers yourself. Better sometimes when I tell you to wait a day, you can come over to me in a day. I only tell it to you when I think that you can probably work it out yourself. Alright, Yochanan?
Yeah.
It's very easy when you feel like there's an inconsistency to like shoot out. Oh, 1 second, it doesn't work. No, stop. 1 second, stop. Think about it. Maybe it does work. Okay, now it's time to chazer what we said. Parashas Ki Seitz. He's made for the bris. That means he's denying that connection that he has with the Rabbani Shalom. That the whole Kippur of Yom Kippur comes from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at that connection. So me can I immediately, if you deny that connection, I'm not going to look at that connection. Hayom Hara Asylum. Today, Rosh Hashanah is the day that Yom Shishi Labri Asylum is the day that Adam was created. And this, just repeating this is the Yisaidis of Rosh Hashanah. That on Rosh Hashanah there was a big din. The first Rosh Hashanah that man was created, there was a big din. There were different kitais of Malachim. Some kites of Malachim came to the Rabbani Shalom and said, "Do not create Adam." Ma enosh kisiv kerenu, uvan Adam kisiv kedenu. Don't be zayecher Adam. Don't create Adam. I heard Agav, I'm not going to answer this now, I don't have it clear, but the Mefarshim asked, why doesn't it say, Ma enosh ki sivra enu? Why doesn't it say, what is man that you create him? Why are you saying that you remember him? How do you remember something you didn't create yet? It's a little sure of the Lashon of the Pasuk. I don't have the answer clear, I'm just pointing out that there's a Makan Nian over there. Good gosh. So the Rebbe Shlom had to decide, should he create Adam or should he not create Adam? Should he listen to the Malachim that say that the Adam is going to fall prey to his Yetzahara, that there's going to be a lack of Kavod Shemayim, that there's going to be a Chilul Hashem in the world, as we spoke about this past week? Or should he decide to create Adam? And the Lashon HaChazal say, I don't think I mentioned this yet, Isman, the Lashon HaChazal say is, He'emin be'olamai ubaroi. He believed in his world and he created it. Malachim didn't believe in this world. Kadosh Baruch Hu had Amunah. Now, what did he have Amunah in? So this touches upon the fact that Rabbeinu Shel Olam knows, bebrirus, that Yidden are not going to completely lose their kesher to him. Rabbeinu Shel Olam knows and created it, and that's what we're discussing now. Rabbeinu Shel Olam created a Metzius that Yidden will not, there's a Mulchamah between Tayyib and Ra, it's true, there's a Mulchamah between Tayyib and Ra, the Tov is going to win. How do I know the Tov is going to win? Because the Lefnai v'Lefnim is Kulei Tov. Using the terminology that we're saying today. There's a Melchama between Tov and Ra. The Malachim is saying, look, there's a Melchama between Tov and Ra. Maybe Tov will win. That will be a Bikkadosh Hashem. But maybe Ra will win. And there'll be a Chilul Hashem. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam has a Emunah because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam put into the Bria. This Koyach that the Lefnai v'Lefnim is Kulei Tov. And that means that, this is the way we said it last time, that means that Aleph, anybody who goes off, always, Yemin Chabshuta L'Kabal Shavim, always has the ability to come back on, because that Lefnai V'Lefnim is never extinguished. Lema Astim V'Legalvin. A person, people sometimes think, Arayayim Azeh, people still say, boy, I just killed it, there's no hope for me. There's no such a thing as no hope. Lema Astim V'Legalvin L'Chaloysa, there's no such a thing as no hope. And secondly, and this we didn't talk about that much, Barichas, the fact that the deepest part of a person is Kulei Tov will create a situation that Klal Yisrael will eventually do tshuva. You know, a person could get distracted only a certain amount of time. A nation could be distracted from its truest, deepest ratzon only for a certain amount of time. At some point, maybe it'll be 1,000 years, maybe 2,000, maybe 3,000 years, but at some point, that deepest, deepest ratzon of the collective hearts of the whole Klal Yisrael will eventually do tshuva b'shaft, that's the nevuah of b'shaft ad Hashem alekecha. So a person standing b'din on Rosh Hashanah, and the Rosh Hashanah is looking, let's just realize, just time, you know, we were talking about this last night in the car, it's an incredible thing. You have a yom din, we don't do tshuva first. We, Baruch Hashem, do tshuva, we have Elul, we know there's Elul, Anil, Daidi, V'daidi, Li. But when's the Ikar Yom of Kavara? When's the Ikar Yom of Slicha of Mechiva? Yom Kippur. So why don't we do Yom Kippur before Rosh Hashanah? Doesn't that make sense? Would it make sense to have Yom Kippur before Rosh Hashanah? You see from there that the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah is not, it's not just how people get just get confused. Rosh Hashanah is about Tshuva, Rosh Hashanah is about Tshuva, Yom Kippur is about Tshuva, and it's true. The person has to understand the different shades, the different nuances. You know, someone who doesn't, is not familiar with wines, a cup of wine is a cup of wine. This wine, that, a cup of wine is a cup of wine. But someone who's a wine connoisseur, this wine is, has this type of grape, with this type of grape, and with age, this amount of time, and this much, this wine is a little different. Someone who's a tshuva connoisseur knows, El is this kind of tshuva, Rosh Hashanah is this kind of tshuva, or the person even has the first day of Rosh Hashanah is this kind of tshuva, the second day of Rosh Hashanah. The bigger, the Kadmoinim even have the first 3 hours of this kind of tshuva, the second 3 hours. You get, as you become a bigger connoisseur in tshuva, you become able to be mafas. Seriously, may tshuva is for this, and Yom Kippur is for this, and Ni'ila is for this, and Kol Nidre is for that, and that's... So what's the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah? The tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is to be megala, is to try to uncover, the Rav Dessler said, we read that it's possible, if a person with effort, to uncover the lefnai v'lefnim in a person. And that's the job of Yom Kippur, to try to uncover, to be oimid lefnai Hashem, that makim, that ratzon, ritzoneinu la'asos is ritzon. That's Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur is a similar thing on Yom Kippur, but we're not going to do that now. Rosh Hashanah also has an asik with lufnai v'lufnim, you see. There's an asik on Rosh Hashanah with lufnai v'lufnim, not just on Yom Kippur. That's the chiddush of Rosh Hashanah. That the job... Chiddush Baruch Hu is being t'dah. Toiv v'ra. The toiv of the Rebbeinu Shalom. My lufnai v'lufnim is kula yidavach in you. The way to be zaycha b'din is to uncover that. You want the Rabbeinu Shalom to look at that? You want the Rabbeinu Shalom to look at that kulay taiv, and therefore to be dan, that there's still hope and there's reason to let a person stick around for another year? So we have to be megala. That's the avoid of Rosh Hashanah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the zchus of having the ability of being megala, that lefnai v'lefnim. That's the avoid of Rosh Hashanah. Ubameh, how do we do that? How do we megala that? Bashoifer, with the shoifer. The shayfer, what does the Rambam say? It's because the Rambam says, "Avol remez yesh b'davar." Rambam says, "Hilchos true." There's a remez. Here, shayfer has a remez to it. What's the remez? Kaloimar, it's as if to say, "Uru yishena mishinaschem." Sleeping people, wake up from your sleep. V'nirdamim hakitzu mitar de maschem, and people who are in slumber, awaken from your slumber. V'zichru b'rachem, v'chizru b'tshuva, and remember your Creator, and do tshuva. Elu sheshaychichem es ha'emes b'havlei hazman, the Rambam says, those people that forget about the emes, they lose track. That's the, if you remember the first quote, was about the emes. Those people that could forget about the emes, they get distracted in the havlei hazman, in the distractions of life. The shofar is a time to say, wake up! Wake up. What happens when a person wakes up? What's wake up? Wake up means that his neshama, which was dormant, wasn't being fired. His dormant neshama comes to the surface. He draws forth. A person who's sleeping, his neshama is dormant. His neshama is not being piled. When he wakes up, his neshama comes to the surface. Rosh Hashanah is a time that the part of us, that's the deepest part of us, the lufnai v'lufnim, we say, wake up! That part of our neshama, we say, come to the surface. We bring it to the surface. That part of us that's kula yidavik in the Rabbeinu Shalom, I just want to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's the shayfer. The zikaron that the shayfer accomplishes, the zikaron of the shayfer, is that the Rabbeinu Shalom, exactly the kesher to remembering, I'm not going to get involved with now. I have to limit it some. But at least this much. The zikaron is, we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu to look past my life of toiv and ra. Look deeper than that. And remember the my lufnai v'lufnim. Remember my lufnai v'lufnim. Remember that makim in me that's completely davak in you, that has no bechira. The shayfer serves a dual purpose. It wakes us up, and at that chus, it serves as a zikaron to the Rabbeinu Shalom. As we know, just in case this dual purpose is confusing, we know that Hashem Tzilcha, Hashem is our shadow. Everything that we do, Hashem does Mida Keneged Mida. So what do we have to do to get the Rabbeinu Shalom to remember our Lefnai V'Lefnim? We have to remember our Lefnai V'Lefnim. Hashem is our shadow. We have to remember our Lefnai V'Lefnim. So we blow shofar. What's the shofar? Physically, what's the shofar? It's ear that's inside, and we pull it out. We take the depth, the curl that's deep inside, and we pull it out. That's the physical avodah of a shofar. And that's what we do also. We take the ruach, the neshama that's deep inside, and we bring it out to the surface. On Rosh Hashanah, that's the uru yishenim. It's not because shofar is a loud voice. Someone who blows shofar low is also, yeah, it's a mahadrim and a mahadrim. The point is that the kai, the zgula of the mitzvah of shofar is that it brings out that lefnai v'lefnim of a person. Zakti Gemara on Rosh Hashanah. That a shofar, kivon de lezikaron ka'asi, since it's coming for that zikaron of bringing out the lefnai v'lefnim, ki lefnai v'lefnim, dummy. It's like the kohen gadol walking into the lefnai v'lefnim. That's the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Rav Hutner says it's Rosh Hashanah. We ask, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that since the shofar is for remembering, it's like lefnai v'lefnim. What's the kasher between remembering lefnai v'lefnim? According to what we're saying now, it's half-level fellow. The remembering of Rosh Hashanah, what's the whole purpose of the remembering of Rosh Hashanah? Is to remember the lefnai v'lefnim of a person. The part of a person that's completely kosher, completely dovak in Hashem. It's completely lema'astim v'lega'altim l'chalaisim. It's completely, completely kaddish. So kivan de lezikaren ka'asi, ke lefnai v'lefnim dami. The Lizikarin. That's just for Zikarin. Yeah, because just like, since in the Kaddish HaKadosh, there is a Hakbada Ben Kategor Nasus HaNegor, so too on the Shofar, which corresponds to the Kaddish HaKadosh, also you can't Ben Kategor Nasus HaNegor on the cow, or the eagle was made from a cow. So, we don't want to remember that.
What's the Zikarin trying to say essentially? You should remember you've done that part of it?
Right. Recall, you know, like if we say, think of me this way, don't think of me that way.
Right.
You know, focus on this, don't focus on that. That's what we're trying to be, mother. Boy said, it's an amazing thing. Everyone is going to sit there when they hear this. Comes out that our ability to be Mekayim Tkiyas Shofar Karoi, that ability draws its strength from the Bris Milah. That's what comes out. The Bris Milah is our connection with Hashem that only exists because we have a Lefnai V'Lefnim. We have that part of us that's completely kosher and Rabbani Shalom. Right? That's what the Bris Milah is. And the whole point of the Shofar is to bring out that part of us that exists because of Mitzvah Milah. We explained before, it was made for bris. The Taz brings and the Mishneh Berurah brings us another Rosh Hashanah. Halfway of a fellow. He says it was a gadol echad. He brought halacha that a person should do this. The gadol echad, as you know, that the mayel is moited, he sucks a little bit of blood into his mouth from the bris milah. That's the Mishneh Berurah. There was a gadol echad. When it came time for the bris milah, he did a bris milah on Rosh Hashanah. He was moited, there was dam in his mouth, and the mile, of course, goes over, he takes water and cleans his mouth out afterwards. He doesn't want to keep blood in his mouth. There was a gadol echad that was makbid not to wash his mouth out of blood until after he was also the Baal Tekeah. So first he blew shofar, and then he washed down his mouth. Ratza, Mishneh Berurah says, he wanted that the dam mila should mix with the kol shofar. He wanted to mix the two mitzvahs, the mila and the shofar. Anybody with an inquisitive mind, with a sensitive heart, right away asks himself, like, Stam, we should take 82 mitzvahs and try to attach them? What does that mean? But according to us, it's pilei plaim, nair v'ayin. The whole godless of the bris milah is that there's a lefnai v'lefnim in a year. That's why I could be so attached to the Rabbeinu Shalom, to have a milah. And the whole mitzvah shofar is to awaken that lefnai v'lefnim, ki lefnai v'lefnim dami. The two mitzvahs are connected. So he had a bris milah, he was zeichet to have a bris milah on Rosh Hashanah, halfway of a fella. He took the dam of the milah to stay in his mouth, so that the milah should still be a presence. The bris milah should still have a presence when he blows shofar.
That's the
sugya about that. Which comes first?
You can't connect it.
No, but that's not negated. Stam, Mila comes before Shofar. That's the way it works in the Seder. And every yontif there's always a shot we have put in the Mila. So Mila comes before Shofar for whatever. That's the sugya. But this Gadol Echad had this hergish. Had this pure Tyre hergish showing that he's taka in touch with his lefnai v'lefnim. That the mila belongs with the tkiyas shofar.
What if they're similar purposes?
Because the bris mila is a reflection of the fact that there's a lefnai v'lefnim in a person, and the whole point of the tkiyas shofar is to bring out the ulu yishena mishinasta, is to bring out the lefnai v'lefnim of a person. As a yisai that we discussed, I think it was the last Chaburah of last year, Zevi will correct me if I'm wrong. Be'emes, Torah is something that's beyond us. Torah is something that's beyond us. Even our ability to understand the word of Torah is absolutely beyond us. Beyond. Alachas kama v'kama, kal v'chaymer ben b'neishol kal v'chaymer, the ability to be mechadish chidushei Torah, to say our Torah, to be mechavim to the emes of Torah. Alachas kama v'kama, kal v'chaymer b'neishol kal v'chaymer, to make a takana as Chazal. When Chazal make a takana, what are they saying? They're not just saying, we'd like you to do this. There's a takana in the yeshiva, a first year guy shouldn't have a car. You know, it's a takana, that's what we'd like. When Chazal make a takana, they're adding it to the Torah. They're not saying it's a deraisa, that would be baltaisa. But they're adding it to the Torah. They're saying, this is what the Rabbeinu Shlomo wants from Yidden. Clarity. This is what Hashem wants. How does a human being know with absolute certainty like that? How do human beings able to connect to the Rabbeinu Shlomo ba'ofen that they have such clarity about what the Ratzon Hashem is? To make their own takanas chazal. Where does such a thing come from? It comes from the fact that there's a place in us that's completely davak in the Rabbeinu Shalom. Exactly what we're discussing the whole time. The fact that there's a makim in us that's completely davak in Hashem gives us the ability to access the ruts in Hashem. You tell somebody, so-and-so really wants that this should be. How do you know? Because I'm very close to him. Because I'm very close to him, that's how I know. The Chazal tell us the Rabbeinu Shalom wants that such and such should be the case. How do you know? Because we're very close to him. Because there's a part of us that's completely not affected by the Olam Hazeh, by Hester, by Yetzirah, completely not affected by anything. It's completely focused its whole existence, its whole mahus as Rabbeinu Shalom. So since there's that part of me that's so attached to Hashem, I could say, this is what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants. The godless of Chazal was that they were able to touch that. We're confused. We don't know when we want something, when we think Hashem wants something. How many people have had this? Is this really what Hashem wants? What does Hashem want from me? What should I do? That's because we're distracted. We're in the murkiness of the Milchama of Tov and Ra. But Chazal, the godless of Chazal, was that they were able to say, when they had that Siyata Dishmaya, this is what Hashem wants. And they were enough Dovuk in Hashem. Hashem had sheared himself with Klal Yisrael when he gave us the Torah, and when he gave us Bris Milah. He had sheared himself with Klal Yisrael, attached himself to Klal Yisrael, to the point that we could be Zeicha to be mechadish chidushei Torah and to make takanas. Because
I'll need this takana, we should learn.
Hang on. Reb Tzadik says that we mentioned in Shavuos time. Reb Tzadik says that Chazal say, Ya'arif kamoter likhi tizal katal imrasi. Ya'arif kamoter likhi means that my words should come down like rain. Tizal katal imrasi, my sayings should run. Tizal means to flow, to run. Like dew, like tal. You ever see the windshield of a car very early in the morning? Sometimes it's like little trickles of dew running down on the grass. It's tizal katal. Tal develops overnight on the ground. It's tizal katal. Chazal say, Yarosh kamater likhi, that's Torah of Iksav. Tizal katal imrasi, that's Torah Shavalpe. Zakhtar Tzadik, why is one Torah of Iksav, one Torah Shavalpe? Zakhtar Tzadik like this. What's the difference between rain and dew? What's at least one difference between rain and dew? Rain, you see clear where it's coming from. Where's the rain coming from? It's coming from Shemayim. Go outside when it's raining, look up, you see where the rain is coming from. It's coming from Shemayim. Dew, anybody ever saw a dew fall? You ever saw a dew fall? Oh, that's the dew falling. It becomes Min HaShemayim, it develops in the ground. It doesn't come out of the ground, Reb Tzadik said, at least according to Reb Tzadik. It's from the mist, it's from the condensation that is also ultimately Min HaShemayim, but it's a much more subtle process of it kind of appearing on the ground. It's a subtle process. It doesn't come down from Shemayim to Eretz. You see, oh, it's in Shemayim, now it's on the Eretz. It doesn't work that way. The clouds cause a certain amount of moisture in the ear, and there's a condensation overnight, and this and that. It's not perceptible. A person could stay out the whole night, and he'll never see the dew fall. I used to wonder about this when I was a kid. When does this stuff get on the ground? It's a process. It's a subtle process. You don't see it. Tzadik. Torah Shabiksav, that we see exactly, it comes from the Rabbanu Shalom. Bereshis Bara Elokim was given to us from Moshe Mesinai. It's like rain, we see exactly where it's coming from. Torah Shabal Peh also comes from the Rabbanu Shalom. It's also exactly the Ratzon Hashem, exactly reflects what Hashem wants. But it appears in the hearts of Chachmei Yisrael. In a subtle way, it appears in the hearts of Chachmei Yisrael. But the Chachmei Yisrael is able to be mechavet to what Hashem wants. Tiz al katal imrasi. The imrasi is milashin sasa noichi al imrasecha. Kemaitse shalorov. When we say amira in the Torah, we're referring at least either sometimes completely and sometimes also to mila. Sasa noichi al imrasecha is what David said when he used the base amerechas. And he said, I'm Orem and Amitzvah. He says, oh, I have the mitzvah of Mila. Sasa Neichi, I rejoice, Al Imra Secha, which grad is one of the psukim we say by Tchiyah Shrefer. It's a pasuk about Mila. Sasa Neichi, Al Imra Secha. Zokter, Tizal Katal Imrasi. My Amira, but uses a lashon that refers to the bris Mila, because where does it come from that Chazal could be Mesach and Takanas? We could have Mesechtes of Shas. They didn't have Nevuah. Rav Chizda was machadish something. Rav Huna was machadish something. Abaye and Rav have a machloekas and it's elu ve'elu divrei lekim chayim. They didn't have nevuah. How do they know that that's what Hashem wants? How do they know that that's what Hashem wants? Tisal katal amrasi, because we have that connection to Hashem. Like I say, I know this is what Yehuda wants. How do I know? Because I'm very close to him. I have that connection. I know that that's what he wants. We're so connected in the Rabbanu Shalom that that's our bris with Hashem. We have such a bond with the Rabbanu Shalom that we know what Hashem wants. That's where Takanas Chazal comes from. The Lefnai V'Lefnim. Again, we're back to that Lefnai V'Lefnim. The Lefnai V'Lefnim is the source of our whole Torah Shebaal Peh. If there was no Lefnai V'Lefnim, and anything could either be Tov and Ra inside a person, there is no way that we could have accomplished the beauty and the unadulterated Kedusha and Tahara of the Torah Shebaal Peh that we have, a Shas and a Mishnayis and a Rishayim, and we know that every single word is Kaddish and every single word reflects the Ratzon Hashem. That only could come from human beings that are so connected with the divine, so connected with the Rabbanu Shalom, that they can. It's beyond the world of Tov and Ra. This is what the Rabbanu Shalom wants. So this is the perspective that we have when we're going into a yontif. That there's no shayfer deraisa. True, there's no shayfer deraisa. But what's the whole mitzvah shayfer? The whole mitzvah shayfer is to bring out the lefnai v'lefnim. You know how we're going to bring out the Lefnai V'Lefnim? Mitzvah L'Shmaya Divrei Chachamim. We're going to bring out the Lefnai V'Lefnim by honoring Chazal, whose whole ability of Chazal to make a takana comes from the Lefnai V'Lefnim. Our whole not Tkiyas Shofar is the greatest Tkiyas Shofar in the world. Our whole lack of Tkiyas Shofar, that's a Tkiyas Shofar. It doesn't say no true, it says Zichron true. It brings out the true. On Shabbos, it doesn't say there's no true. It doesn't say Yoim true and Yoim Loi true. It's Yom Teruah, one day we actually blow, and the day that we don't blow, that day Mamash brings out the Teruah, it's Zichron Teruah. How does it bring out the Teruah? Because we have full faith in the Chachamim, that they have, in this Lefnai V'Lefnim, that they have this Kesher with the Rabbanu Shalom, this ability to make a Takanas Chazal. Our not blowing Shofar is the loudest Shofar blowing a person could blow. Shabbos is, I don't want to confuse. Shabbos, Yen Chanak.
That's given the connection to the fact that there's any
By adding to Torah. In fact, we have an addition to the Torah says one thing. Chazal said, oh, no, don't do that. Chazal, how do you know? The Torah says to do it. How do you come off doing it? I'm very close to Hashem.
Right.
Very close. So that adherence to a Takanas Chazal, that itself is a gilui of a Lefnai V'Lefnim. It says that uniqueness that Klal Yisrael has. I'm not getting into it, huh? I'm not getting into it. What? I don't know. I didn't think about it in terms of this at all, so I just didn't think about it yet. I want to talk. Believe it or not, this whole shtickle, this is halacha l'maisa. This is halacha l'maisa. In a few hours, this all becomes halacha l'maisa. What our Rosh Hashanah is about. And it's something that the cliche part of it, the pentaliyid, the real me, this is it, it's things that we've heard for years already. I feel like there's two incorrect approaches to it, people, someone could have. I want to discuss both the art of Harami Kirbecha. I want to discuss both incorrect approaches and try to introduce and be masber a third approach. That's the correct approach. Approach number one, none of us could live up to our real me. None of us feel like we can. I want to be davar k'derbeis shalom. I want to learn kulei Torah. I don't want to have any machshavei zarais. I want to be like the only guy. And that's what comes out on Rosh Hashanah. Of course, I can't really live that way. That's good for Rosh Hashanah, but it's in Gedalia. I'm going to live differently. One approach is my real me, mamish, comes Rosh Hashanah. I daven very hard. I cry. I'm davuk in the Rabbeinu Shalala. I can't live up to that the rest of the year. That's one. Sad. And it leads to a confusing Rosh Hashanah. So am I supposed to try to be machazik this? Am I not supposed to be machazik? Like, what am I doing here? What am I doing exactly? This is already the more mature mahalach. The less mature mahalach is total avodas Hashem. Like, that level is not for me. I've discovered that it's not for me. Or I used to think that it was for me. But now I realize that it's just not for me. I can't be that intense. I can't be that intense about my avodas Hashem. It's not for me. Why would a person come to the realization that it's not for me? Because it's very stressful. Because it can be very stressful. A person stresses himself out. He tries to learn too many hours a day, to daven too long for an esrei, to mafresh himself from gashmias, whatever mishagasan a person would have. It's not for me. So Mela, he realizes, he decides to fast Monday and Thursdays for a month and realizes that it doesn't go. He spent the whole Monday and Thursday of every week just thinking about food straight the entire day. So he realizes that Ruchnius is not, full Ruchnius is not for me. I need to have a little Gashmius in my life also. It's not for me. That's also not a right mahalach. This brings us to a nakuda that we have to have very, very, very clear before the Yom HaDin comes. And that is that I'm not a b'di'evit. Really, I should be like this. My averis are averis. I'm not saying my averis aren't averis. But who I am is not a b'di'evit. I live in this country. I live in this generation. These are my koichas. For example, somebody feels... Somebody feels like he can't daven Shalom Shema Esrei. He can't. He can't daven Shalom Shema Esrei. It's just too much intensity for him. It's too stressful. So he can't. He can't. He'll go to any mashgiach, any rebbe. They'll tell him. He'll go, Rebbe, what should I do? I can't daven Shalom Shema Esrei. Well, any bal seichel will answer him. So don't daven Shalom Shema Esrei. Very simple. When I learn too much, I start being nimas from learning. Somebody will come to you and ask you. I almost start being disgusted from learning. For a while, I could learn with Cheshik, but after a while, I start getting disgusted from it. So what would the answer be? Obviously, you're not ready to learn so much yet. Obviously not. If I mafresh myself from Gashmias, I just find myself completely focused on Gashmias. Obviously, you're not ready to be mafresh yourself from Gashmias yet. I can work slowly on stopping to do Averis, but it's very hard for me to go cold turkey. Obviously, you're not ready to go cold turkey as long as you're heading in the right direction. These are all maaser lachas. They're maaser b'chol yom. And chenuch is maaser b'chol yom. I mean, there are people out there that give wrong advice, but maaser b'chol yom. So, but the reaction that someone has in Mela is, really, I should be learning so much. But I'm just not ready to do that right now. I'm either not ready to it or I'm not capable. Really, this should be the way, but I'm unable to. That's a mistake. Every person is a lechatchila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created him with the koichos that he gave him, and that's lechatchila. His avodas Hashem is lechatchila. So someone decides that he's going to go to college. Someone decides that he's going to learn 14 hours a day instead of 16. Someone decides he tried it, he can't keep to the gross schedule of sleeping 4 hours out of every 24 hours. It's not possible. So half hour every 6 hours. It's not possible. You know, on any level, I'm just trying to show you. I'm not trying to push low madrigas. That's not I'm just saying, on any level that a person realizes these are his limitations, then that's full of chatchila. Then when you live your life involved in Avodah Zarah to the extent that you're able to, and being involved in Gashmias to the extent that's necessary for you, not learning or yes learning, intensity, so on and so on, doing tshuva at the pace that I'm able to, the best of my ability, to the best pace that I'm able to, I'm doing tshuva. That's l'chadchila. This is ma Hashem alekech ha'shared. This is what Hashem wants. So a person should be able to get up on Rosh Hashanah and be able to be megala. The real me is to be completely davuk in Hashem. And do you know how I'm completely davuk in Hashem? By only learning such and such many hours, or by not davening such a long Shemoneh Esrei, because I'm a l'chadchila. This is the way I'm supposed to be. And I'm serving Hashem b'chol nafshecha, b'chol ma'idecha, enthusiastically serving Hashem the way that matches my reality. So let's go through both malach. The second one was, I'm not capable of being... let's start with the first one. The first malach was, on Rosh Hashanah I realized that the real me, mamish, wants to be davuk in Hashem, but I can't do that the rest of the year. Mistake. On Rosh Hashanah, a person should be megala the real him and realize that the proper manifestation of that real him, the proper way for him to serve Hashem with all the intensity, is to daven that short Shemoneh Esrei. With all the hisklavos and simchas achayim and all the intensity, to daven that short Shemoneh Esrei. A person says, I took steps this year to get better. I wasn't able to take all the steps. I have to break it up a little bit. So then, if that was the way that he was able to do it, then that's the way that he's able to do it. Then, on Rosh Hashanah, when he's Megala, the true, the real him, the Shaifer is Megala, the Bechiah, that's what we spoke about last time, Shaifer is Megala, the true, it's not a stira with the person that he is on Saim Gedalia. It's not a stira. He's able to bring out his true Dveikus in Hashem, and to understand that sometimes chilling out is the right thing, even within the terms of being completely davuk in Hashem. My neshama wants to be completely davuk in Hashem, but I have a reality. I realize that I have this kaycha, and this kaycha. And you know what my absolute veikus in Hashem is going to do? It's going to tell me that there has to be harmony between all the different parts of me. That we have to work together here. I can't forget that I have a guf. I have a lufnai v'lufnim, but I can't forget that I have a guf. And I don't mean davka that a person has to focus on that on Rosh Hashanah. I don't know if it's a terrible thing for Rosh Hashanah to be a day to just recite inner losses and recite. I don't know. But it's not a stint, like, okay, like people get this nervous feeling as Rosh Hashanah is coming to an end, like, how much longer can I hold out, like, being good like this? No, make a plan that works for you. And that plan, that's the lechatchil, that when you're oymed lefnei ha-melech on Rosh Hashanah, you can be oymed lefnei Hashem with the plan, without being embarrassed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I used to learn only 2 hours a day. Now I learn 6 hours a day. I can't learn 12 hours a day, but now I learn 6 hours a day. And I'm going to try next year to make it 7. That's a plan. If that's a plan, so some people that's an aliyah, that plan. For some people that's a yerida. But that's a plan. Take the plan and stand in front of the Rebbe Shalom with that plan, with the full Ritzaynenu Lasses of Ritzaynenu, and this is my plan. The second mahalach was, it's not for me. I can't be so intense. You think you can't be so intense because you can't be the Kayin Gadol. But you can be a very intense person in terms of the fact that every aspect of my life I'm doing L'Shem Shemayim, but I realize my reality. I need to take a break, or I need to do this, or I need to work slowly, or I need to improve myself slowly, or I need to I need to sometimes go easy on myself. I can't be that tough on myself, etc., etc., etc. That's what I need. The whole approach of I realize that it's not for me. I can't be so I used to be mamish totally into it. Now I can't be so into it. You hear people say, I realize after all I can't be so into it anymore. It's a breakdown that comes from thinking that totally into it means being Rabbi Zalman Meltzer. Being totally into it means recognizing my reality and realizing that this is what the Rebbe Shalom wants from me. Or we try to take that extra step, trying to move with seichel, trying to pick the right things to work on. And I'm totally into it. What do you mean you're totally into it? You only learn half a day. I'm just giving a mashal. Yeah, I'm totally into it. This is what the Rebbe Shalom wants from me. I'm doing 100% what he wants. And the rest of the day I make sure I'm honest and I'm besimcha and I don't allow myself to be depressed. I don't allow myself to be sad because I realize I'm serving Hashem properly and so on and so forth. That's the proper service of Hashem. The full intensity. So a person stands, tomorrow we're going to stand by Musaf, the Eimah, the Kaddish before Musaf. A person standing at Mamash should be Eimah Levnei HaMelech, Eivim Lefanecha Kevnei Maron. It doesn't have to be, I'm never, ever, ever going to battle again, I'm never going to go have a barbecue again for the rest of my life, I'm Mamash Kulay Dachukin Hashem. It doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to be like, oh no, he's about to judge me and I know I'm not going to be able to hold up. It doesn't have to be that either. A person has to spend time thinking before Rosh Hashanah, over Rosh Hashanah, over Aser Yisrael Tshuva. What's the reality? Where's my Nekudas HaBechira? What's the reality that I have to work in right now? Is there going to be Taina something that I don't say Tikkun Chatzais? I'm not holding there yet. There's not going to be a Taina on me about Tikkun Chatzais. Is there going to be a Taina on me that I don't fast on Mondays and Thursdays? No, that's not my reality. It's not in my reality. It's not going to be a Taina. Is there going to be a Taina on me that, even though it's hard to stop talking Lashon Hara, but I could have learned maybe 5 minutes a day about Lashon Hara, that to be Mechazik me? I'm just giving a mushroom. That might be a taina. Okay, fine. I'm gonna start learning a little bit about Shmiras Halashon. Maybe it'll affect the way I am. Oh, that's in my reality. Rabbi Nishaloyla, with the full me, with the full Lufnaival of Nim, with the full Kibun de Lizikar and Kazakil Lufnaival of Nim dummy. I'm giving you my, you know, Lahavdo Elephant of Dallas, so Bush has his roadmap. It's a roadmap that leads towards disaster. We have to have a roadmap that leads towards Hatzlacha. This is my plan. This is my plan. My plan fits with the Lufnai V'Lufnim. We're not being schizophrenic over here that we sit by a Musa Seder and we say, don't worry, you have to take it easy, you have to do this, it has to be, a violent person should be intense, but it has to be, and then we come to Rosh Hashanah and we say, the Rakia opens up, the Lufnai V'Lufnim, your Amid Lufnai Melech, it's not a steer at all. The full Amid Lufnai Melech is Rabbeinu Shel Olam. You created me, like we spoke the other night. Evar Shapilak Tabano V'Ruach Neshamash and Afach Tabi'apeinu V'Loshen Hashasam Tabi'pinu. The Kaiches that you gave me, Heim Yoyudu V'Yivarchu. That's what I'm going to serve you with. I'm going to serve you with what you gave me. You gave me an ability to do Sashasash, and that's what I'm going to serve you with. The real me is not a stira to me. It doesn't have to be a stira to me. The real me and me, like I have a personality disorder. You know, the real me could recognize that it wants to be Dovak and Hashem, and the me could be implementing that Dveikus in a way that reflects reality. I think that's a way to be Mitzvah. So.